This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Every single one of you should be a spy for God. I mean, we all should be spies for God. And what I mean by that is every morning you covertly go out into the world and then you watch and you wait and you listen and you look.
Everyone, thanks for tuning in to Enjoying Everyday Life. Today, we are continuing our Talk It Out discussion on how to be vulnerable with our honest feelings rather than hiding behind a facade. Our special guest is Dr. Henry Cloud, a clinical psychologist with a Christian perspective. He joins Joyce, Aaron Cluley, Jay, and me to share some practical steps we can all take to be more real with each other and with ourselves. And later in the program, Joy shares how we can all be spies. That's right. She is giving us a secret mission, and I like the idea of that.
I believe that people are just crying out to just be who they are.
Yeah. That's right.
Stop all the pretense. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And one of the things that I try to suggest a lot of times is if you're going to get together with just a few friends, mm-hmm. and you're going to pray for each other and you're going to share some stuff, then set up some ground rules.
No, that's really
good. Make a covenant mm-hmm. together.
That's good.
And just make it explicit instead of having to feel weird about it. Because a lot of times we do have to go somewhere where we're legally, protected from
right.
that.
Right.
Well, shouldn't a covenant be better than the law?
Right.
Right? That's the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But the Bible also says this, that even in the church, there's bad actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are gossips. And there are people that use you. And, David said in Psalm 101, it was so powerful. He says, there are certain kinds of people I will not tolerate.
Right.
The narcissistic, judgmental, gaslighting, holier than thou. He just lists them all. And then he says, but those who are blameless, who walk in a blameless way, they will be the ones that minister to me. Mm-hmm. He actually said he's going to choose good, safe people.
That's good.
To minister to his heart. And that's what we need to be diligent about.
That's
doing.
Good. That's really
what
good.
Suggestions would you give people, our friends who are watching right now, who think, I want this. I want to be able to let that facade down. I want to be myself, but I'm just scared, and they've probably been hurt before.
Yeah.
What are some steps to start moving toward that?
Well, it's a really important question. One of the things to remember is that sometimes when you've been hurt and, used and gaslighted and all of that, that there's so much noise that it's really hard to see who's safe and who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
and a lot of times people will not see it coming, and they get seduced into feeling like they're safe, and then they get used or hurt. So if you're not sure, and your people picker is kind of broken.
Your people picker.
I literally was just going to say, how do you fix your people picker? Like, literally, right before you said that.
I'm going to preach that. Is your people picker broken?
That's right. Well, what did Jesus say? We have to get the log out of our own eye first so we can see clearly.
That's good, yeah.
Because a lot of times, if we've been hurt and all that, we just can't even see who's around us.
Yeah.
So if you're not sure, then you said it exactly right. Go somewhere where somebody hangs out a shingle that says, this is a confidential space.
Yeah.
I am trained to help you with what you're struggling with. It's not going to go anywhere. And if it does, you can have me put in jail.
Yeah.
So start somewhere safe. And then from there, I would kind of move up the food chain a little bit to where, from a counseling or a counseling group, then you could go to like a ministry like Celebrate Recovery, for example, where they have ground rules. And people, the only reason you show up there is because you're being authentic.
Right.
Nobody comes to Celebrate Recovery and says, I'm here to show y'all how holy I am.
I'm here because I don't have a problem.
Right.
And you get thrown right out, right?
I'm fine.
Right. So go somewhere that's structured. Go to your pastor. Go somewhere where they're actually hanging out a sign that says it's safe here. Mm-hmm. Now there, from there, you start to smell out who's safe and who isn't and who's bad. And then you can kind of move up to where you gain the skills of, I think it's Hebrews 5:14, amazing verse that says solid food, which is relationship and a bunch of other real life. Solid food is for the mature.
Right.
Who, through practice, have had their senses trained to discern good from evil. Mm. Now, that's a people picker,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You, through practice and learning who's safe and who's narcissistic, yeah, and who's vulnerable, you get your senses. Because a lot of times when people grow up in dysfunctional churches or backgrounds, they get trained out of their senses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll feel something, well, it doesn't hurt.
Right.
Or, no, the Lord is going to turn, I think it hurts. Shut up, or I'll give you something to cry about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All of that invalidation, and they get talked right out of their senses. And so then their senses, their gut feelings, they're not trusting them, and they get hurt again.
Right.
And the Bible addresses this.
Yeah.
And so we have to be on that path of finding safety and finding people that exhibit God's grace and His truth, somebody that can be honest with us. And it's so covered in grace that you thank them for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's safe.
I think we have to get to the point, too, where we're not so caught up in caring about what other people think of us. I don't think you can really open up and be honest with anybody if you're so afraid that they're going to think that you're not this or you are that or you're not something else. And so
that's right.
There's always two sides to it. You know, there's the side of me being willing to be authentic, but then there's the other side of, will you keep my secrets?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the side of, am I willing to be honest with you, even if you do judge me, am I okay
right.
with
yeah, that's good.
Whatever you want to think about me? Because
yeah,
the only thing I really care about is what God thinks of me.
Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, Jesus said, woe to you. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. You know, if you're trying to people please and make everybody like you and care too much about what everybody says,
yeah,
then we become multiple personalities because we got to please this person and that person.
Yeah,
it's exhausting.
And it's
and
horrible.
And like that definition of that word, you know, authentic, it's,
right,
you know, instead of being who you think everybody wants you to be,
right,
which really everybody you know, they want something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And yeah, so you get so confused. I mean, there were times in my life when I was so confused and I was trying to be my neighbor and my husband and my pastor's wife. And, you know, none of those were uniquely me.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank God that I've worked through a lot of that. But it was really challenging at the time. I've actually come to the point where I believe, and I was thinking about this the other day, if I am sitting around wanting to be you, oh, I wish I had hair like you, and I wish my body was your shape, and I wish that, you know, I could this and that, something else. I think it's actually an insult to God, because He created us uniquely with His own hand in our mother's womb, carefully, the Bible says, and so not one of us is a mistake. And I really think it's wrong to want to be somebody else. I think you really need to embrace who you are. Even if you think you're the most unique person on the planet, I think you need to embrace who you are and, you know, take a chance on being real. And if people can accept that, fine. And if they can't, then you'll live without it.
And it's good to live without them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you realize that for a relationship to go away because somebody disapproves of you and you're truly pleasing God, you know, I always say, don't count your critics, weigh them.
Right.
And if you're upsetting the control freaks and the narcissists and the gaslighters and the toxic people, it's usually because you won't do what they want.
Right.
You say no to them and they have a temper tantrum or they judge you. If you're upsetting the right people, you're probably really doing well.
Yeah.
Because the people we want to, that are pleased with us, yeah, are, and think we're doing well, are people that we're in spiritual community with,
right, mm-hmm,
and we're being confessional and we're trying and all that, and they're not going to judge us.
Mm-hmm.
So all these other people, let them go have a judgment party.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I literally,
and don't invite me.
Yeah. I literally said this morning, because someone had seen something I'd shared on the Talk It Out podcast, and they saw something else, and they sent me a message. It was a family member. Well, I guess you call it an ex-family member. But
they were just like, you know, you need to just let it go and don't do this and don't say this and don't, you shouldn't share. And I said, you know what? I believe that I'm hearing from the Lord on how to share. I have great people around me that are giving me wise counsel. And I was like, and honestly, if you don't like what you're seeing, feel free to unfollow. That's what, I mean, I literally, I was like, I love you, but yeah, feel free. I literally did that this morning. And it was like, it was hard for me to send that, but it was just kind of like,
did if you feel she, free though?
I did. Yeah, it felt so good to just say like, hey, if you don't like what I'm sharing, it might not be for you, but right. I do have great people in my life and I'm listening to the Lord and I'm making mistakes along the way. But if you don't like my journey, feel free to unfollow me.
That's and such I felt a like, key. Is it me admitting that you're not perfect, that mm-hmm. I'm never doing all of it mm-hmm. right. So help me, you know, support me. But if it's not right for you, then I get it.
Yeah, but
step back. And that's okay.
Her opinion of me was unsolicited. It was just like, I didn't ask you for your opinion of me, and I didn't ask you for your wisdom. I really have clearly great people around me, you know. And I was just like, I love you, and I appreciate you giving me your opinion. But if you don't like it, feel free to unfollow.
And it's so impossible to please a critical person. I mean, what does a dog do? They bark. What does a critical person do? They criticize. Right. Doesn't matter who they're with. I love that passage where he says, you know, John the Baptist came neither eating or drinking, and you called him all these sorts of things. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. You said he's a glutton and a drunkard. Who can make you happy?
How do you win? Yeah,
right. Nobody can make these people happy.
That's right. That's
so
exactly
let them go
right.
just.
I think this is really freeing for a lot of people. Yeah. I really do. Thank you.
One piece of advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lady said, it was in a seminar one day, she said, how do you deal with controlling and critical people? I said, why would you want to do that? why do you want to deal with these people?
Yeah.
And she goes, because they're everywhere. And it's like, and she started talking about it, like at her church and her work, and she always... And she was kind of like somehow they almost became people that she would gravitate towards to try to gain their approval. And I said, here's what you do. You just convert them. And she says, well, they're not interested in God. And I said, I didn't say anything about God. I said, you convert them from being a controlling person to being a frustrated person. Because if you just say no, they're no longer controlling because they don't have control of you. They're just frustrated. You just say no, they'll get frustrated and they'll figure it out. And
take that power away
maybe
from them.
They'll come inside.
You got some good stuff, you know that?
He's a smart guy.
Actually, you know, it's just being extremely dysfunctional for a lot of years and kind of, you know, doing what we're talking about. You know, it's I think of 2 Corinthians 1 a lot. It says, we comfort others with the comfort by which we've been comforted by God. Mm-hmm. And when I was right, you know, in college and right after, I really got depressed, really, really depressed, and hit the pavement hard. And God reached in. I went in an empty church one day and said, if you're there, I need your help. And he showed up. And I don't know of anything that I write about that I, you know, haven't learned. Yeah. Both from books and being a clinician, but also, you know, just going through pain. But God can heal you. Yeah. He does.
Okay. Yeah. So. I just want to say before we finish, too, thank you all so much for addressing anxiety, because as someone who has walked through that myself, I remember sharing on this, on Talk It Out last year, so nervous because I'm a Christian and I work at Joyce Meyer Ministries and I shouldn't have anxiety. And to hear you all say that that's okay, it's normal, and there's, you can do something about it. I just really appreciate that. So thank you for talking about something that's hard.
Yeah. I think that everybody appreciates something honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we're just bold enough to be honest. Mm-hmm. And when you are honest, you always have to remember that not everybody is going
to
like it.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Really good. Well, thank you all very much. It's been a great conversation. And like I said, I think it's just kind of a salve on people, what they need to hear. Mm-hmm. And so we invite you, if you're new to Talk It Out, we hope that you'll keep coming back. You can subscribe to it wherever you find your podcast. You can also catch up on all of our other podcasts at joycemeyer.org/talkitout. We have so much fun. And thank you, Dr. Cloud.
It's always great to be
great
with
having you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for talking it out with us.
Thank you.
I love to teach on love because learning how to be a lot more aggressive in loving other people has sure brought a lot of joy into my life. And as you know, we even call our TV program Enjoying Everyday Life because I spent a lot of years as a Christian not really enjoying my life. And then I found out that Jesus died not only so we could go to heaven, but that we could enjoy the journey. And one of the ways that we do that is not the only way, but one of the ways that we do that is by getting ourselves off of our mind and aggressively on purpose being a blessing to other people everywhere that we go, in small ways, in large ways. And you have the ability to do that. As a believer in Christ, you are a new creature in Christ, and you have a new nature. There is a part of you that wants to love people. There's a part of you that desires to walk in all the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5 that we have the fruit of the Spirit. It's in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, humility, meekness. All of those things are in you. Even self-control is in you. Imagine that. Everybody say, I've got it. But we also have a flesh. We also have that old nature. And even the Apostle Paul said that when he wanted to do right, something would war against him, almost forcing him to do what was wrong. He said, the thing I want to do, I can't do, and the thing I don't want to do, I always end up doing. So we have to realize that there is a war going on in our flesh. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. But what we have in us is greater than what we have against us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we can fight with everything that we think we do wrong and all these temptations we have and fight with sin and feel guilty and condemned all the time. Or we can have a whole new focus. We can get up every day and say, today I'm going to live to love. And if you're full of love, full of caring for other people, full of really wanting to serve God with all of your heart, then there's not going to be any room for the bad stuff to get in. If you will focus on doing the right thing, the wrong thing won't be able to find a place to get into your life. So I frankly don't want to fight all the time with selfishness. I don't want to fight all the time with impatience. And I would tend toward being impatient. That's probably one of the greater weaknesses in the choleric or the type A personality, is we know what we want. We're firm about it. I've learned to be patient with people. I'm not perfected in it yet, but I sure have come a long way. And so if I purpose to be patient with people, then there's no room for the impatience to operate in me. You've got what it takes. You are brilliant. You are absolutely amazing. You are created in the image of God. There is so much good stuff in you that you are just about to pop open with goodness. You've got what it takes. And if you don't believe that you can do this, then you're never going to do it. You can live to love other people. And you do it for God. You don't do it for you. You don't do it for what you get out of it. Yes, you do it to make other people happy. But even that should be a second motive. Our first motive is to do it for God, to say thanks to him for everything that he's done to us. How many of you want to show appreciation to God for everything that he's done for you? You want to say thank you, Jesus. Well, how many ways can you do that? We can say thank you, Jesus, but there are millions of ways that we can do it if we simply will learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's amazing what happens, all the little things that God will show you personally that he may not ever show another human being, but God will show you little things that he wants you to do that may seem little, but they're big to somebody else and they're big to God, simply because you cared enough to listen to what he said and do them. Amen? It's amazing what God can use us for. If we will just simply be willing to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of you should be a spy for God. I mean, we all should be spies for God. And what I mean by that is every morning you covertly go out into the world. And you've got your God armor on. You know who you are in Christ. You don't go out to impress somebody. You don't go out to have people think well of you. You've set yourself aside. You've deposited yourself with God. And you're like, okay, God, I work for you. And can I tell you something? When you're on God's payroll, he'll always take care of you. You tend to God's business and he will always take care of your business. And then you watch and you wait and you listen and you look. And you know, you can even make lists. When you hear people tell you things that they would like to have or things that they need or even things that they want, if you can't do it right now, you can write it down. Pray about it. Ask God to provide what you need. Or let's say you hear of somebody who maybe doesn't have any furniture in their house. Or somebody says, you know, all I've got is bedroom furniture. I don't have any living room furniture. I don't have any kitchen furniture yet. Well, maybe you can't afford to go buy them all the furniture they need, but why don't you get aggressive enough to go get a few more Christians together and say, hey, why don't we make this happen for that person? You'll have so much fun. It will be absolutely amazing to you, the fun that you will have in meeting people's needs. Amen. Let's look at John chapter 21, verse 15 through 18. When they had eaten, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than all these others do? And of course, Peter answered back and said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. It's a little bit lengthy in the Amplified, and I'm not going to actually read all that because we got three verses in a row that say pretty much the same thing. And then Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. How many of you see that? Right on the bottom. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Very last sentence there. Feed my lambs. Okay. Jesus, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, feed my lambs. Second time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Verse 16 says the same thing. Verse 17, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. It says that Peter began to get a little bit bothered that Jesus was asking him the third time, do you love me? It's almost like, well, you sound like you don't believe me. Yes, I love you. But then it comes back with an instruction, feed my lambs. Now, what in the world does that mean? It's very simple. You know what? If I was saying it in today's language, here's what I would say. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, help somebody. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, help somebody. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, help somebody. The greatest way that we can show our love and appreciation for what Jesus has done for us in dying for us, taking the penalty for our sins, shedding his blood, taking the keys of hell and death away from Satan, resurrecting from the dead, and letting us share in everything that he bought and paid for. We are joint heirs with Christ. The best way that we can say thank you for the life that we have is by helping somebody else. Every day of your life, you can have an opportunity to do this. There will not be a day that will go by that you won't have an opportunity to do this. Now, in order to do this, if you're going to have your mind full of what you can do for other people, guess what? There's no room to have your mind on you all day long. So I guess I could come at it two ways. I could say, get your mind off yourself so you can help other people. And I've said that plenty of times. But I think maybe even a better way to say it is get your mind so full of what you can do for other people that you don't have any time left to think about yourself. The more you're a blessing to others, how many of you have noticed the more idle you are, the more unhappy you get? Why? Just simply because you didn't have anything to do but just sit around and think about you. But if you'd get out and be a blessing to somebody else, let's look at Philippians 2, 4 through 7. I think we want to live with a whole new attitude. Philippians chapter 2. You know, Jesus could not have come here to earth and made the sacrifice that he made for us had he not had and maintained a proper attitude.
Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interests of others. Let this same attitude and purpose and a humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. What was Jesus' purpose? He came here to set captives free, to open prison doors. He came to help us. So our purpose every day can be to help other people.
I really do love what Joyce just said about being spies for God. It sounds like an adventure, and it can be a great one, watching and listening to find out what people really need and how we can help them. It's wonderful. And the more we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and we do help others, the more fulfilled we'll be in our own lives. Those are two beautiful things. Joyce has a great book coming out. It's brand new. It's so good. It's called Loving People Who Are Hard to Love. Who doesn't need that? Who doesn't have someone in their life, whether it's someone you know well or someone that you just come in contact with on the street or on social media, wherever it may be. But you have those people in your life who are difficult. They're prickly. They're hard to love. The Bible helps us. God gives us a great example in Christ on how to love those people in a way that's good for us and good for them. You need this book right now, and we want to give it to you for your gift of any amount. Just do your best, whatever you can give. Let us know you'd like it, and we will get it to you right away. Thank you for joining us. We are so grateful for you, and we'll see you here next time.
I've got stuff that I need God to heal me in, and I don't think I realized it until I start realizing I don't have to be perfect.
It took a willingness of me to be vulnerable and to talk about it with friends and allow God to heal me.
Yeah. And there always comes a point where we just have to release everything to God.
Join the girls on Joyce Meyer's Talk It Out podcast. Subscribe today.
We have four boys, so our house is very busy, never a dull moment. My two older boys, they get along most of the time, but there was a season where they were just getting on each other's nerves, and just there was like battles I felt like all the time. Well, I know in my own life the importance of God's word and what a difference it makes. So when we started school this year, I decided that that's what I want our day to start with, is being in the word of God. And so we've tried a bunch of different devotionals. I feel like a lot of them were either written more for adults or for really little kids, until we got The Best Day Ever. The boys understand what it's saying, and it's very like easy to apply to whatever's happening in our daily life. I would say probably after a week of doing it, I noticed, I'm like, hey, there's not as much bickering going on. Like, they're being kind to each other. And so just being in the Word of God made a huge difference.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.